Welcome to this lesson on building a Soul Pride style pad playbook in Ableton Live 12 for old school jungle and crunchy DNB arrangements. Today we're not just designing a pad that sounds nice on its own. We are building a pad that actually works in the arrangement. That means it can carry emotion in the intro, build pressure under a breakdown, add harmonic weight before the drop, and then step out of the way when the drums and bass need to hit hard. That's the big mindset shift here. In drum and bass, pads are not wallpaper. They're structural, they're there to set the mood fast, create harmonic identity without fighting the sub, and add a little movement and grit so the track feels alive even when the break is stripped back. And for jungle or old school inspired DNB, the magic is in the texture. We're not chasing a pristine, glossy pad, we want a sampled feel, a little crunch, a little aliasing, a little bandwidth loss, something that feels like it came from a chopped up musical fragment, not a perfect modern synth patch. That grime is part of the vibe. So let's build it. Start with a short, soulful source. Keep it simple and emotionally clear. A single chord stab works great. A Rhodes phrase, an electric piano fragment, a vocalish synth chord, or even a small loop from a sample pack will do the job. If you're using your own MIDI, think minor 70hs, minor 90hs, sus2, sus4, or modal voicings. You do not need a giant chord stack here. In fact, too much harmony can get in the way. Load the source into simpler if you're working with audio. Classic mode is a great starting point, and one shot can work well too if the source is more like a chord hit. If you want deeper control over modulation and key tracking, sampler is also a strong choice. The main thing is to keep the phrase emotionally strong, but harmonically restrained enough that it can loop for 8 or 16 bars without sounding cheesy. Now let's dirty it up in the right way. We want the sampler texture to feel like an old record fragment, not a clean digital instrument. So inside Simpler, start with a low-pass filter. Somewhere around 2.5 kHz to 6 kHz is a useful zone depending on the source. Add a bit of resonance, maybe 10 to 25%, just enough to give the tone some nasal character. Transpose it if needed, maybe minus 3 to plus 2 semitones, until it sits right in the key and feels emotionally correct. Then put a saturator after it. Drive around 2 to 6 dB is often enough to add density and a little edge. Keep soft clip on, and trim the output so you're not just making it louder for no reason. If you want even more sampled crunch, add redux very subtly. You're not trying to destroy the sound. You just want enough downsampling or bit reduction to make it feel worn in. Bits around 10 to 14 can be a sweet spot. Use your ears and aim for texture, not obvious lo-fi gimmick. At this stage, the pad should already feel less like a modern polished synth and more like a memory. That matters in old school jungle because a lot of the atmosphere in those tracks comes from sonic evidence of the source being cut, resampled, and repurposed. Next, shape it musically so it works in the arrangement. If you're writing MIDI, keep the chord pattern spacious. A 2-bar loop is often enough. You don't want to fill every bar with constant harmony. DNB arrangement tends to feel stronger when harmonic elements appear, disappear, and re-enter. That gives the drums room to breathe, and makes the music feel like it's moving through sections instead of just looping endlessly. Try a pattern where the chord lands on bar 1, and maybe again on a slight offbeat or a later hit in bar 2. In the breakdown, you can hold the chords longer. In the build or pre-drop, shorten them into stabs. Think about the pad as a performance element, not just a sustained layer. Voicing matters too. If the bass is handling the root, you can use rootless voicings and let the pad live in the mid-range and upper mids. Spread the notes out enough to give width, but keep the low end under control. If the pad gets too heavy below about 90 hertz, it starts to compete with the sub. We do not want that. Now add motion. Static pads get boring fast in DNB, especially when the drums thin out. So use auto filter after simpler or sampler and automate the cutoff. A low pass 24 filter is a strong choice. You can move the cutoff from around 300 hertz up to 4 kHz over the course of an intro or breakdown. Keep resonance moderate so it has life, but not so much that it starts whistling. The point is to make the pad breathe with the arrangement. If you want a little instability, add subtle movement with chorus ensemble, frequency shifter, or a very gentle LFO if you're using sampler or max for live tools. Keep it restrained. A few cents of detune and slow modulation is enough. We're aiming for worn-in and alive, not giant super saw shimmer. Here's a useful arrangement idea. Start the track with the pad low pass closed and distant. Then over 8 bars, slowly open it. In the breakdown, let it dip and recover in small arcs every 2 or 4 bars. Then in the drop, reduce it to a ghost layer or mute it entirely. That contrast is what makes the drums feel bigger when they return. Now let's build the actual crunch chain. A solid order is EQ8, then saturator, then redux or erosion if needed, then chorus ensemble or utility, then reverb or hybrid reverb. With EQ8, high pass the pad somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz depending on how busy the track is. If it's muddy, carve a bit around 250 to 500 Hz. If the crunch gets harsh, tame somewhere around 2.5 to 5 kHz. You're cleaning up just enough to let the drums and bass read clearly. Saturator adds density and helps the pad stay audible in a full mix. Use soft clipping if you want it to feel a little more glued together. If the sound needs that old sampler bounce, erosion can add a nice rough sheen, but use it lightly. This is seasoning, not the main dish. For width, keep an eye on the low end. Utility is your friend here. If the pad has stereo movement, make sure the low supporting parts are still controlled. A wide pad can be amazing in the upper mids, but if the low mids are too wide, it can blur the groove and make the track feel soft instead of powerful. Now the important move, resample it. This is where the lesson becomes super practical for arrangement. Once the pad has the right feel, record it to audio. Create a new audio track and capture 8 to 16 bars of the moving pad. Freeze and flatten if that's faster. Once it's printed, you can chop it, reverse it, and treat it like a real arrangement object. That means you can pull the first hit into an intro swell, reverse a tail into a transition, grab a one-bar loop with the nicest movement, or create call-and-response slices that interact with the drums. This is very old-school in spirit. Commit to the sound, then arrange with it, and that commitment is useful. If the pad is already vibing, printing it to audio gives you more freedom and more speed later. You stop endlessly tweaking the patch and start making music. Now test it against the Cordeed NB engine. Drums and bass. Always check the pad against the snare as well as the bass. That's a big one. A lot of pad problems show up right on the backbeat. If the snare feels smaller, reduce the pad's midrange buildup or shorten its tail before touching the drums. If the break loses snap, the pad may be too wide, too reverby, or too long. With the bass, keep the sub separate and centered. Avoid strong pad energy below 120 Hz. If the bass line is active in the midrange, the pad may need to sit higher or be automated lower during busy moments. A good move in DNB is call and response. Let the pad bloom in the gaps, then step back when the bass answers. That gives you tension without clutter, which is exactly what you want in rollers and darker tracks where the groove has to stay relentless. Now let's make the arrangement actually tell a story. Think in sections. For bars 1 to 8, use a low-pass filtered pad under the intro break. Bars 9 to 16, open it a little and maybe throw in a reverse tail or some delay sends. Bars 17 to 32, shorten it into rhythmic stabs. At the drop, mute it or leave only a ghost layer. Then bring back the full emotional version in the breakdown after the drop, with more reverb and more width. In the outro, close the filter again and make it DJ-friendly. Automate cutoff, reverb send, width, saturation drive, and volume. But remember, the best pad movement in DNB often happens in small resets. Short automation arcs every 2, 4, or 8 bars feel more musical than one giant sweep. The ear keeps getting tiny refreshes, which is a very jungle-friendly way to build energy. You can also set up returns for consistent ambience. One return for short room space, one for a darker longer reverb, and maybe one tempo sync delay. That way the pad can live in the same emotional space as the drums without getting washed out. If you want to go further, create 2 versions of the pad. One cleanish support version and one nastier feature version. The support version stays subtle and sits under the mix. The feature version gets more saturation, a little more redux, stronger filter motion, and maybe a narrower EQ focus. Then you can use the clean one for most of the tune and bring in the nasty one for breakdowns, lifts, and transitions. That gives you proper arrangement flexibility. And in darker DNB, that's gold. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the pad too wide in the low mids. High pass it sooner and keep the sub centered. Don't drown it in reverb, or you'll blur the snare and soften the groove. Don't leave it running constantly through the drop, because then it stops being a dynamic element and becomes fog. And don't overcrush the source so much that the chord loses identity. We want grit, not mush. Here are a few pro moves if you want to push it. Try a filtered noise layer under the pad for air and menace. Keep it subtle. Try a narrow band pass sweep before the drop to create pressure. Try a reversed pad tail right before a transition. Try a lightly side-chained pad if you want it to pump a little with the drums. Or print a clean version and a dirtier version in parallel, Then blend them quietly for more depth. You can also create a ghost chord version by low-passing a duplicate hard and tucking it into the gaps between drum phrases. That gives you a phantom harmony that appears without shouting. Or make an octave shadow layer by duplicating the pad up an octave and high-passing aggressively. That can add urgency without crowding the low mids. For a more fractured jungle feel, resample the pad and manually cut tiny fragments out of it, then replace them with gaps. That creates a broken tape loop energy that works brilliantly in intros and transitions. And here's a great homework challenge. Build three arrangement-ready versions of the same source. One intro version that's filtered and restrained, one transition version with extra crunch and a reverse swell, and one breakdown version that's open, emotional, and spacious. Use the same chord source for all three. Resample at least one to audio and manually edit it. Make sure one version leaves room for the snare and sub. Then test one of them in a Riedel 16-bar arrangement.